Wednesday, October 13. This is Intro to Chemistry class. We're looking at slide number, about slide 71 of the chapter 3. And we will be finishing up, hopefully, chapter 3 today. I hope. All right, well, let's get started, shall we? And now what's going to happen is you'll find that I'll try to get these things, the audio posted within a day or so after I record them. I've got it so it doesn't take that long, about 15 minutes to get it adjusted. You'll notice also that I add some music to the beginning and the end. So if you want to listen to what music I have selected, you're welcome to do that. Also, sometimes put in a laugh track. When I say something funny and nobody laughs, I add more music. So you'll enjoy that, of course. Now, VSEPR. When I say VSEPR, you say valence shell electron pair repulsion. Okay, VSEPR.
Valence shell.
Wow, you guys. All right. I say valence shell electron pair repulsion. You say
VSEPR.
All right. There we go. You guys are slow talkers. Man, I can talk pretty fast if I want to. But at any rate, so what does that stand for? Valence shell electron pair repulsion. Well, it means, ladies and gentlemen, and I use the term loosely, it means that you can predict the shape of a compound based on how many electrons it's got around it. Now, if you've got a pair of bonding electrons, just two, one, two, they're going to be as far apart from each other as possible. That means that's a straight line. How many degrees is a straight line?
180.
So that's linear. And then you've got trigonal planar, where it's got three bonds attached to it, and then it's flat but triangular. That's why they call it trigonal planar. That means it's a what? What's the bond angles? 120. And then you can go on and discover that you've got this one. Four shared electron pairs around a central carbon. Minimal electron repulsion when electrons are placed at four corners of a tetrahedron. Each hydrogen-carbon-hydrogen bond angle is? The wedge. 109.5, the wedge. And the name of that, of course, is? Tetrahedron. And so you can see here, here's a model of a tetrahedron. Where do they get the four from? Well, if I put a sheet of paper here and here and here and where my hand is, how many sides do I have?
Four
sides. That's the tetrahedron, meaning four sides. So, and you can see anywhere I place this, it's all the same shape. And the bond angle between here and the carbon and here, that's what number is it? 109.5. And what shape does that give you?
Tetrahedron.
Now, what happens if, in fact, you got something going on here looking at ammonia? There are four electron pairs around the central nitrogen. Three pairs are what? What is this called? Shared electron pairs. One pair is lone pair. The lone pair takes one of the corners of a tetrahedron without being visible, distorting the arrangement of the electron pairs. So it's just like this. So ammonia is just like this. So is this top pair of electrons bonded or not? No, there's nothing out there. So this is the lone pair electrons. It's represented by that little stick. It's got nothing out here. But notice how that little stick still creates a situation where the bond angles for the other three are first down and away. So notice, so it sits like this. See? There it is, just like that. But what's not shown here is this lone pair electron. Notice they show that on the wedge and dash form, and here it is also on the one. But that bond angle, if I was going to show it, is what? About what? And the shape of this is called what? Trigonal pyramidal. Why the pyramidal? I understand the trig. There's three of them, but why pyramidal? It's up. What if it was trigonal planar? Those three, those same. Well, of course, the one thing I wanted. There we go. We'll just switch it. See, if I lost that lone pair, theoretically, this would flatten out, become trigonal planar. But with the lone pair, it forces it down in a way and becomes trigonal pyramidal. Now, the reason why all this works, this is all important for biochemistry, ladies and gentlemen. All your proteins have shapes of nitrogen, and they got carbon in them. And so the proteins that you live by, that help you exist, that are changed when you learn, are all created out of carbon and nitrogen and some oxygen. Now, you got water. Water, 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 water. Now, what's not shown here is actually this idea. Two pairs of shared electrons and two pairs are lone. So that means, if I was going to use the same model, notice what I've done here. Notice, if you can imagine the carbon now being oxygen and the two hydrogens are still there, here you've got two bonding electrons and you got how many lone pair electrons? Two. Well, these two force these bonding down and away and you get a bent or angular structure. See, so basically hello. Oh. Well, that's nice. So was someone trying to attack? Vulnerabilities. I'll take care of this a little later. All right. Why I decided now, of all times, to do it, who knows why. So here you got water. Here you got the lone pairs sticking up. Notice how they alter the shape of the thing. Without those lone pairs, these things would be in a line and would be, in fact, linear. So, it's kind of handy to have this in a tabular form. Two bonded atoms, bond angle is 180, it's linear. Carbon dioxide. Three bonded atoms, no lone pairs, trigonal planar, like SO3. Two bond atoms, one lone pair, that's angle. So what I need for you guys to know is everything but angular. We didn't talk about angular. You can skip angular. But if you got four bonded atoms and no lone pairs, the bond angle is about a 109.5, the shape's tetrahedral. If you have three bonded atoms and one lone pair, it's trigonal pyramidal. If you got two bonds and two lone pairs, it's called angular. Also right under here, bent, B-E-N-T. B-E-N-T. This is table 3.5 as we go through our lecture today. Table 3.5. I have no idea exactly what handout that is, what overhead number that is. We go on to the next. Basic procedure to determine molecular shape. You'll be given a Lewis structure. Okay, count the number of shared electron pairs and lone pairs around the central atom. If no lone pairs are present, shape is 2, linear, 3, trigonal planar, 4, tetrahedral. That's if there's what? No lone pairs. But if you got a lone pair, linear, trigonal planar, bent, trigonal pyramidal, tetrahedral. Well, obviously, trigonal pyramidal can't happen unless you got a lone pair, but that's neither here nor there. Consider dimethyl ether. Did we miss something? Okay. Two central oxygen, carbon, a methyl group. So what happens here is when you look at the oxygen, it's got two bonds and two lone pairs. Two bonds and two lone pairs. So that means it's about 104, and that means it's bent. Be similar to water. Similar to water because of the lone pairs around the central atom. Determine the molecular geometry. Determine the molecular geometry. Can we figure this out? Where is phosphorus? What's phosphorus? Right here. That means it has how many bonding electrons? How many electrons are on its outer level, I mean? Five. So if I was going to write phosphorus, I'd write what? I'd write a big old P. And I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So guess what this is now called? What is this? Lone pair. The lone arranger. Okay? And it's got two chlorines. Put a chlorine here, three chlorines and a chlorine here. Here. So how many bonding? It's got one lone pair and then how many? Three bonding. Oh, one lone pair and three bonding. Let me go back and see what that would be. Whoop, 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 whoop. Let's see here. Oh, okay, so it's got three bonding, one lone pair. Three bonding, one lone pair. That means then... I'm going too far. PCl3 is what shape? Trigonal pyramidal. Write it in, write it down, write it up. Write it in, write it out, write it out, write it up, write it in. SO2, I'm not going to worry about too much. pH3, well, the pH3 ought to be the same thing as what? Yeah, it's the same thing as PCl3. I have no idea why they threw that in there. That's silly. SiH4. What does HIS4 have? Let's see here. Si, what is its shape? How many electrons in the outer level? How many on level? Four. Four, four, four. So you got uno, two-o, three-o, four-o. And then how many hydrogens? You got four. So you end up now with a hydrogen there, a hydrogen here, a hydrogen here, hydrogen here. How many lone pairs does this silicon hydride have? Zero. I said lone pairs. Ooh. Tricky? Yes. How many bonding pairs? Four. That means it's going to be what shape? Tetrahedral. I say valence shell electron pair repulsion. You say? VSEPR. Valence shell electron pair repulsion. And this is designed to help us understand the what? Shape of a compound. Give us an idea of the shape. Now, polarity. Polarity, polarity, polarity. Let's see here. Let's go back. A molecule is polar if its centers of positive and negative charges do not coincide. Do not coincide. Now, did we talk about electronegativity? We did, didn't we, a little bit? Polar molecules bonds. Hey, polar molecules and bonds. Actually, I should say polar bonds and molecules. Now, let's take a look at a very common compound, HCl. HCl. Based on your knowledge of the electronegativity trend, where is the most electronegative element? Is it way down in this corner or is it way up in this corner? Where's the most electronegative element? Top right, that's right. So fluorine and chlorine are pretty close, but chlorine, and you can see this on a table that's in your text, and I will probably give you on the test. Ooh, this is going to be tested over?
Yes, it will be.
This is a 3.0. Okay? Now, the hydrogen, what is it? It's about a 2.1, I think. Now, so are these two things have the same electronegativity? No. So, they don't have the same electronegativity. Okay, here's two bonds. So, what that means is, if... Oh, I need for you to help me out here. Hold out a hand. So we're now bonded. Is that correct?
Yes.
We're sharing these electrons. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, but we're not equally sharing. If she's chlorine, right, you're pulling the electrons more toward you than me. Is that right? That means she's slightly what? Slightly negative. Is that right? And I'm slightly what? Positive. Just hold on to those. Just temporarily. So, that means this is slightly positive and this is slightly negative because the electrons are aimed or leaning toward the chlorine. Because in a bond, chlorine will pull on the electrons more than the hydrogen will. Now, it's not a complete shift because it's not a full positive and a full positive or full negative. It's just a partial shift. It's a partial. But this molecule then, and this bond, is polar. That means the electrons are not equally distributed. Okay? And that there is a region here that's partially negative and a region that's partially positive. Okie dokie, now, so you can have a polar molecule and a polar bond. Let me show you something else here. Let's take a look at this next one. How about carbon dioxide? Well, carbon dioxide actually looks like this. It's a linear molecule. It's in line. It's in line where these pairs and this pair repel each other. And there's no lone pairs on the central carbon. So this is going to be 180 degrees. Now, this is about electronegativity of 3.5. This is about a 2.1. Now, I'm in the mood for science simply because you're near me. Funny, but when you're near me, I'm in the mood for science. Bizarre, isn't it? At any rate, so, actually, this is a good idea. Would you mind being a carbon for a minute? Sure. And would you mind being oxygen, and you mind being oxygen? Okay, so, I need for these two pins to go over here. Actually, it's a double bond. You guys hold on here and here, okay? And you guys hold on here and here. All right, now then. Notice, what's their bond angle? They're a straight line, therefore it's how many degrees? 180. Now then, let's take a look at this bond right here. She's electronegative. She's got a 3.5 electronegativity. He's about 2.1. These electrons are actually going to be what? Shifted to her, is that right? She's going to be partially what?
Negative.
And he's going to be partially? But if you come over here, they've got the same situation. Notice here. She's 3.5, he's 2.1. What electron is going to be? Shifted that direction. She's partially
negative.
And he's partially
positive.
Now, I want you to imagine, ladies and gentlemen, that there's a partial negative sign here over her head and a partial negative sign over here over her head. Is that right? Here. Now, think in three dimensions. If I was going to average the position between her partial negative and her partial negative, where would it end up? Where's the average position of her and her? Right there in the middle, isn't it? And so these partial negatives would be right on top of his partial positive, and they would cancel out. So guess what? Carbon dioxide is, in fact, nonpolar. What? 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 Are you kidding me? Just hold, you guys put your arms down, but I'm going to need... What did you mean? What? What was that? Yes, we said this oxygen is partially what? Negative. And this oxygen is partially negative, but this carbon is partially what? Positive. But if I was going to average the position of these two things right here, they would shift and move exactly on top of the partial positive. And therefore, they would cancel out. Therefore, though each bond is polar, the entire molecule is what? Say nonpolar. Nonpolar. A bond can be polar, but the net result for the molecule might be, say nonpolar. Nonpolar. So the accumulated effect, the individual bonds can be polar, but the net effect can be nonpolar, exactly right. It all depends on the shape. Shape. All right. Now then, would you three mind getting up for me? I'd be very kind if you don't mind. But come on up and sit up here. Okay, exactly. Bring the bonds. And we're not going to make this too turn around. We're not going to make this too complicated again. All right. I want you to bond over here. And bond over here, And if she's an oxygen and she's an oxygen and he's a carbon, there's no lone pairs on here. So the shape of the molecule is what? Linear. Partially negative. Partially negative. The average partial negative is where? Over here. He's partially... Oh, you got a nosebleed. Okay, I'm sorry. All right. I don't think I've ever had that happen before. Okay, so the entire molecule, each bond is polar, but the entire molecule is what? Nonpolar, because the average of the positions of the positive and negative overlap and they cancel out and become nonpolar. Now, we're going to, hold on. Okay, we're going to drop the bonds here. I'm going to be a little different. I'm still going to be oxygen. No, I'm going to be oxygen now, and these guys are going to be hydrogen. And that means I'm a molecule of what? Molecule. If I'm oxygen and these two are hydrogens, this is a molecule of what? Water. Oh, thank goodness. I was wondering if I was two hydrogen and oxygen. What would that make? Oh, come on. But now, is water linear? Water is actually what? Angular. What's the actual name? What I call it with the B word? Bent. Okay. I'm oxygen. You're hydrogen. I have a stronger electronegativity than you do. Okay, so if I'm just standing here, she's less electronegative, I'm more electronegative, therefore I'm pulling electrons toward me. Which means I'm partially what? And she's partially positive. Same thing over here. She's got a less electronegativity than I do. I'm pulling the bonds toward electrons toward me. She's partially what? And I'm partially what? Negative. Okay, so I'm standing right here. But we're bent. We're not straight. We're bent. Now think about this. She's partially positive. She's partially positive. Where's their actual average of their position? Where is it? It's right here, right? Right in the space, right in here. This is in a line. It's right here. But does that overlap with me? No, I'm back here. I'm partially negative. Their average partial positive is right there. Do we overlap? No. So in this case, because of the shape, we do have polar bonds, but because of the shape, we also have a polar molecule. Water is polar. Carbon dioxide, because of the shape, nonpolar. Water, because of the shape, polar. Okay, thank you. You guys sit down.
So you have to know the shape?
You have to know the shape.
Okay.
The shape is important to determine whether a molecule is polar or nonpolar. What did I just say? Why is he picking on me today? The shape, exactly. Why? What did I just say? Determine whether molecule is polar. Right. Now, why is that important? Why does polarity make any difference to me whatsoever? Anybody here? Have you guys ever done a belly flop into a pool? Was it painful or was it very, very pleasant? It could have been painful. Is that right? Well, water is the way it is because it's a polar molecule. There are other molecules that weigh heavier than it and are not liquids. Methane gas is actually weighs more than water. But you don't ever jump into a pool of methane gas unless you're on Saturn. And by that time, you're pretty frozen stiff, right? It's pretty cold out there. So polarity is very important. The polar nature of water and the nonpolar nature of your fats enable you to have membranes. And membranes make cells. So the polar nature of water is crucial to life as we know it. Okay. All right. This is the most ridiculous comment. Nonpolar molecules do not align themselves in the electric field. What? Who cares? Okay, next. Write the Lewis structure, draw the geometry of the following symbol to show polarity of each bond. Bing! Polarity of each bond. So you got a polar bond, you draw that. This is obviously, what end is this? Positive, and this end points toward the negative end. That's right. Negative end of the bond, more electronegative element, attracts the electrons more strongly toward it. Positive end, the less electronegative atom. All right. Determine whether the following molecules are polar. SiCl. Are they the same atom? Say no. No. Okay. Which one's more electronegative, silicon or chlorine? Chlorine. Therefore, you would write here an arrow pointing toward chlorine and a plus sign under the silicon. Hydrogen and carbon, are they the same atom? Are they the same atom? No, they're not the same atom. Therefore, there's electronegativity difference. Honestly, I don't know what the two numbers are. I think it slightly favors the carbon. So there's a plus sign here and points toward the carbon. Carbon, carbon, are they the same atom? Sulfur and chlorine, what do you think is going to be the stronger electronegative element? Chlorine it is. And so you're going to put the sulfur with a plus sign and the arrow pointing toward chlorine. O2. O2. What are we going to do? I don't know. O2. It's the same. Therefore, the molecule is pure nonpolar, pure covalent. Exactly right. HF, which one do you think is going to happen here? Hydrogen toward the floor. You see the hydrogen is going to be toward the fluorine, so the arrow is going to be tut-tut and toward the fluorine. Carbon, methane, what in the world? That's just the most ridiculous thing you've ever asked me to do. Here it is. All right, there's carbon. There's a hydrogen up here. There's a hydrogen right here. There's a hydrogen coming out at me, and there's a receding one like this one. And so we're talking about this kind of molecule. Come back here. We got this, we got this, and we got this. Now, is that carbon and hydrogen the exact same thing? No. I think carbon's slightly more electronegative, so we're going to draw an arrow here, like this. Well, is that bond? Yes. Well, that means this bond is the same thing, right? Goes in here. This goes in here. And this goes in here. Notice how they all point toward the center. So each bond is slightly polar. What did I say here? Each bond is slightly what? Polar. But what about the overall molecule? Look at this. This one's slightly positive, slightly positive, slightly positive, slightly positive. Where do the average of those four positions end up? Right in the middle, where the slightly negative is. Does a positive and negative overlap? Say yes. Yes. If they overlap, nonpolar. If they overlap, they overlap, nonpolar, because of the shape of the molecule. How do you determine the shape? VSEPR. You say? Oh, very nice. What, are you guys all asleep? Am I just? It's okay. I'll get you. I'll make you say it. Somehow. Very pleasantly, though. All right, so then. Water. So this is nonpolar because of the shape. The shape you're in. As you get more and more sophisticated in your sciences, you realize the shape of something. All of you, many of you, are pre-PT. Is that right? You know, quite a few PPT, right? All right. So, take a look at the doorknob. See that doorknob? That doorknob is designed to be accessible to what shape? Your hand. Would that doorknob be a very good doorknob if you had to open it with your foot? No. Would they design that doorknob differently if you had to use your foot? So shape and function are important. Are you okay?
Oh,
is this running? Okay. All right. That's you've heard the old joke. You're just all mixed up, right? His nose runs and his feet smell. All right, watch for the laugh track on this audio because you guys are completely pathetic as a studio audience, okay? Pathetic. Oh, man. All right, let's take a look at water. Water. What about water? Water is this. Oh, with a hydrogen. And with a hydrogen. Lone pair here. Now, what's going on here? Is this bond polar? Yes, is this one polar? So the electron's going here and here, boom, boom. But notice where the average position is. This is where the partial negative is up here. Where the partial positive is down here. Do these things overlap? Do they overlap? Does this partial positive here and partial negative here overlap? Do you understand why it's partially negative right here? Partial positive. Let me do this again. Let me draw it. I will do the blackboard equivalent of shouting, okay? I'll just draw it really, really big. And when people draw it really, really big, somehow it seems to make it easier to understand. The electrons are all shifted toward the oxygen. Why is that? The oxygen is more electronegative. That's exactly correct. That means this hydrogen is partially what? Positive. And this hydrogen is partially what? Right? So this oxygen is partially negative because electrons, it attracts electrons to it. So, but when you try to average the position in three-dimensional space, the final frontier, where would the average position of these two things be in the space? It would be right in here, wouldn't it? Right? Does that overlap with the partial negative? Say no. No. So therefore, both the bonds are polar and the molecule is polar because the shape does not allow the partial positives and partial negatives to cancel out. They don't cancel out, it is polar. If they do cancel out, it's nonpolar. And whether it's polar or nonpolar, I know it doesn't sound like much to you right now, but it's very important. If your dietetics, nutrition, all the biochemistry is based on polarity and nonpolarity interactions, et cetera, et cetera. All right, so we got to keep going ahead. Properties based on electronic structure, molecular structure. Intramolecular forces, what does the word intra mean? Within. Okay. And so intermolecular forces attractive between molecules. So what's an interstate highway? It's a highway that moves between states. What's an intrastate highway? Yeah, like Highway 31 or John Beers Road. That's an intrastate highway. Is that correct? And then you've got Highway 80, Interstate 80. It goes between East Coast and West Coast, a continuous line of concrete. All right, so then you've got, of course, the... somebody is in here from Hawaii, right? Okay, so what's the interstate highway in Hawaii? H1. Can you explain that to me, why you have an interstate highway in Hawaii? I know it's interesting. I know that I can understand the one. I don't understand the interstate.
But it doesn't go.
Doesn't go between states. Doesn't go underwater.
Well,
no. Yeah, that's you. You know, another intractable question is, you know, why are there interstate highways in Hawaii? If the black box, the stuff they make the black box is indestructible on airplanes, why don't they make the whole airplane out of it? It's really kind of a stupid thing. But anyway, intermolecular forces, between forces determine many physical properties here. All right. So that's absolutely true. Let's see here. You don't want to get up again. Does it cause your nose to bleed? Or run at least from the stress? You poor guy. Would you three, right here, would you mind, you three stand up and come up here very quickly? And you three, right here, just very quickly. Come on up quickly, that's all I need. All right, as you. Okay, so I need for you to make, this is very, very simple. No, just stand over here. All right, so I need for you to make, you're going to be the oxygen, you're going to be two hydrogens, here's a water molecule, okay? All right, water molecule, can you imagine a water molecule there? Okay? Now then, you're going to be water. You're the oxygen and the two hydrogens. Now, what do we know about this hydrogen? It's partially what?
Positive.
And what about this hydrogen?
Positive.
And what about that oxygen?
Negative.
Okay, so what I need for you to do, oddly enough, is orientate yourselves around. I want your back to be toward her. I want you to be here, and you're over here. Oh, I'm sorry. Right there. And a bond angle. Okay, so there's a water molecule. See the bond angle there? What shape is it? Called what? Bent. He's partially what? And she's partially what? Guess what? Oh, sorry. Maybe I'll hit him hard. And okay. At any rate, there's a force of attraction here because he's partially what? And she's partially what? This is called a hydrogen bond. And it means that there is a force of attraction between the molecules. Ooh, between the molecules. Not within, but between. That means it's a what? Intermolecular. All right? So, now then, that means this water molecule and this water molecule are attracted to each other. Well, imagine now, she has a hydrogen back here. She's got oxygen over here. These guys have oxygens over there and oxygen over here. There's an oxygen, a water molecule overhead. There's some underneath. They're all connected. They're all connected through these hydrogen bonds, and now you have a link, a network of hydrogen bonds. And therefore, when you do that belly flop into the water, these hydrogen bonds are holding these water molecules together slightly. They're not as strong as a covalent bond. There's an attraction. It's not a real bond. But when you land on it, boom, they don't want to separate. And so you go, ow, ow, because they don't want to separate, because there's a force of attraction between the oxygen of one and a hydrogen of another. Is that right? You agree? You understand what I just did? Does that make sense? Why don't you guys sit down? Now, what's that bond called? Hydrogen bond. Okay? Put quotes around the bond. It's a fake bond. It's just an attraction. Why is it intermolecular? Because it's what? Between bonds. Intermolecular forces determine many physical properties. Water does not boil at a low temperature. It boils at a high temperature because those water molecules are attracted to each other. Because the oxygen of one and the hydrogen of the other are attracted. When people jump off the Golden Gate Bridge to commit suicide, which I don't recommend, okay, don't commit suicide. If you think about suicide, life is always worth it, okay? Never give up hope, okay? Talk to somebody. Get some help. Suicidal thoughts, I know I'm being serious, but suicidal thoughts are completely unnecessary. There's not a single reason in this world to commit suicide. Not one. Not even if you have a terminal disease. If I ever get a terminal disease, I'm going to fight it as hard as I can. That's the will that God's given me. He's given us intelligent minds to work with medicine and to create possible cures and ameliorations. But never going to give up. Don't ever give up. Never give up and never give in. Okay, so what kills them? When they jump off a Golden Gate Bridge, are they drowned? Or are they killed on impact? Killed on impact. What? Because water, if you hit it at 40 or 50 miles an hour, water is as hard as concrete. It simply can't get out of the way when you hit it that fast. Now you dive into it, or you part the water and the forces are distributed. But you hit it, boom. So they die from the impact. Okay, or at least they're knocked unconscious and then they certainly drown. So the forces between the water molecules make water such that it can't get out of the way. Intermolecular forces are direct consequences of the intramolecular forces in the molecule. Intermolecular forces determine many physical properties. Water boiling at 100 degrees Celsius, that's very high for a molecule. That's a molecule that's small. At any rate, so solubility. Now, this is an idea. This is one of the physical properties that deal with how the shape and the polarity of the molecule. Max amount of solute that dissolves in a given amount of solvent at a specific temperature. Like dissolves like. Circle that. Circle it. Put it in your memory banks. You guys are all familiar with this intuitively, but this is the rule that works out really well. Like dissolves like. Water dissolves. Things that are polar dissolve in water because water is polar. Things that are nonpolar dissolve in gasoline because it's not polar. Polar molecules are most soluble in polar solvents. Nonpolar molecules are most soluble in nonpolar solvents. Very, very straightforward. Polar molecules are most likely soluble. Now then, does ammonia dissolve in water is the question. Is ammonia a polar or a nonpolar molecule? Based on its shape and its electronegativity, what do you think? Polar or nonpolar? It is polar. This is polar. Polar. Because it's got that, what's the shape of ammonia? What's its shape? Say, trigonal pyramidal. And electrons are all shaped up this way. This is partially positive, partially positive, partially positive, partially negative. They don't overlap. The molecule is polar. So is water polar? Say yes. Water's polar, ammonia's polar, therefore will they dissolve? Yes, because like dissolves like. All right, what are we doing this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, for lab? It says a handout. What we're actually going to be doing is we're going to be doing some lecture. Okay, so come at 3 or 3:15. We're going to lecture for about an hour and a half. Okay, and then we'll be done. So, hour and a half lab, starting about 3 o'clock or so when everybody shows up. Bring your lecture materials. I'll bring a handout for chapter 4, because we're going to move on into chapter 4 today. We're going to get this done. We're going to do chapter 4. Bring a calculator, because we're going to start doing some simple calculations using moles and numbers of atoms and Avogadro's number and pink. Thank you very much. See you this afternoon, 3 o'clock. Same bat time, same bat channel. I need somebody, help, not just anybody, help, you know I need someone, help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind, I'll open up the doors. Self-assured.